Well, good evening, VBS Radio, and to our conference callers. Welcome to the Wednesday night question and answer conference call. Heiss is running late at work, so this is Donna from Great Falls, Montana, and I'm filling in. We're grateful. We're grateful for you to come in and be here with us. We also have two other calls. One on Sunday is our most popular, and another call on Monday. Please come and join us for all three calls. Good evening to those who just came in. Would you like to say your name and location?
Yes. Hi, it's Gail. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Gail. Welcome to the call, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Good evening, Donna. It's Cleo in Connecticut. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Cleo. Thank you for coming to the call this evening.
Thank you so much for being there.
Oh, you're most welcome. Is there anyone else who would like to say their name and location?
Bonnie from Glendora, California.
Hi, Bonnie. And who is the gentleman?
Felipe in Long Beach, California.
Hi, Felipe. Good to hear your voice. Hey. Welcome to the call.
Hey, Donna.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Yes, this is Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Miss Terry. How are you this
Hello,
evening?
Hello, Donna. I'm good. How are you?
It was crazy as ever. We had another caller come in. Would you like to say your name and location?
Miss Marilyn from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Miss Marilyn.
Hi, Donna. How are you?
Oh, you know me. I'm crazy on one side and then crazy on the other side.
Good.
That's a good point. At least you're consistent.
I love you. Agree.
People are calling in from. I think it's exciting.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. We had another caller come in. Would you like to say your name and location?
Donna, are you doing this again? Where's Heiss?
Heiss is running late at work.
I'm teasing you, Donna.
He was struggling, so I said, no problem, I'll cover you.
All right.
That's fine, Winnie. We were all wondering.
You know, it's good to get a break from Heiss's overly friendly voice.
Hi, this is Bonnie and Kelowna.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
Is there anyone else who'd like to say their name and location?
Yeah, hi, Donna.
There.
Is Clarissa here?
I have not heard her name come up.
Felipe. Yeah, he's here.
Yeah.
Is that Ed Spina?
No, this is Ron.
Oh, hi, Ron. God,
how you
sound
doing?
Like it. Is that Ron Hofstetter?
Hofsummer.
Okay. You know, I think they were trying to say hot summer, and they misspelled it, right?
Whatever. It would be a first if somebody got it right.
Hi, this is Joni in St. Louis.
Hey, welcome to the call.
Hi.
Is there anyone else who'd like to say their name and location?
Hi, Donna. It's Raiden in New Mexico.
Hello, Mr. Raiden. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, dear. How about you?
Crazy as ever. You know me.
How many of you would like to not say your name and location?
You know, my doctor asked me today what word you could say with no tongue, and he really died laughing at my answer on that one.
What was your answer?
What was it?
No damn word whatsoever. Good evening and welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
This is Gilbert in Central Florida.
Hi, Gilbert. Welcome to the call this evening.
Thank you.
I was going to be alone here, Gilbert. I'm so glad you showed up.
What?
Good evening. Chico Bob here.
Hello, Chico Bob. Welcome to the call this evening.
Chico Bob, I'm glad to be here.
Good. Is there anyone else?
Dharmananda's here.
Hey, Donna, welcome to the call this evening.
Hi. Donna.
Chico Bob reminds me of a character from Pee Wee's Playhouse.
He's Heidi's neighbor.
Chico Bob, are you from Chico, California?
Uh-oh, Chico, huh?
Yeah. Welcome
Another
to the call
Chico.
This evening. Is there anyone else?
Chica, not a Chico.
Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Welcome to the call this evening.
Thank you.
Hey, Chris, listen.
Yes.
Don't try to sound sober, because we can tell.
I'm not trying to.
Winnie.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, I was just wanting to say, can we ask a question about what's going on right now? Is there any way we can squeeze it in, maybe? What's going on getting into specifics?
I got a lot of questions, and I stick to my guns. You got to split the questions. Your questions intelligent dash infinity, okay?
All right. Well, I'll go to the guy next door's conference call and ask them.
Well, go ahead.
Ben, his name is Ben Freedom.
No.
Winnie, you opened Pandora's box.
This is what I get. For being nice to Chris, okay?
Yes, it will haunt you for the rest of your life, sir.
Dimension,
which is not going to be too much longer.
Actually,
at least for me.
It's very important to get Chris laughing, because it scares all his negative entities away.
Oh, my.
I've not heard Terry Brown come in yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
I won't even go into that, man. That I don't even want to put the energy into it. So.
All right. Chris, be quiet now, okay?
Okay, sir. Yes,
recording.
Sir. Mr. Priest, sir.
Recording.
No, don't start the recording until Terry's here. Terry, are you there?
10-4.
Clarissa is here.
Clarissa.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Clarissa, we've been looking for you. You know that?
Oh, you have?
I have. But don't say anything yet, because we haven't officially started. This
All
is
right.
like our unofficial... Actually, we have officially started. We haven't officially started, okay? Because everyone comes on the line, and they just say hello to each other. And we have... and people have learned... They can be themselves on this line. They don't try to act good, most of them. Some of them. Wait a second. Donna, we got to mute Chris. I can hear him.
I guess I picked the wrong week to quit peyote.
I guess so, Chris. I'm muting you.
Okay, man. I'll still come through telepathically.
We'll still
Lord.
Feel you, Chris.
We'll feel you, Chris.
All right,
where's
Terry? Where is she?
Oh, my God. I mean, Terry, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh,
Hi, Terry.
Good to hear your voice.
There's our intro.
I was getting really nervous.
Chris was saying,
if Terry doesn't show up, I'll channel.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
Yeah, right.
Here we go. We're going to mute everybody.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Donna, are you on the console?
No, I don't have a computer.
Okay. That's all right. Don't worry about it. I forgot. I'm just double checking. Okay.
That's okay. That's why I can't submit a question either.
Well, we'd make an exception in your case. You know that. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. And the question I have is the Earth formation on Pluto natural, or was it put there for another reason?
What is it?
Mm-hmm.
Is the
it's
what?
It's heart shape on Pluto.
It's what on Pluto?
A heart shape.
Is the heart shape?
Yeah.
On Pluto.
Natural.
Put there on purpose. Purpose.
I hate to hear questions beforehand because I don't even know about the heart shape on Pluto. Never heard of it.
That's good. Once but just Earth? Forget, Kelly. You have a really bad memory in general, so just activate your bad memory.
Oh.
I know I have a very good memory. Yeah.
Okay.
I just have trouble charging my phone.
Oh.
Well, use your charger.
I got it on charge, and it's losing its charge really, really fast.
All right.
So,
okay.
Thank you, Ben.
We're going to get started. I'm going to start the recorder. Let me see if I still hear Clarissa. Clarissa, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Hang on a second.
This conference is being recorded.
This is July 29th. What is that? 2015. Okay, it stopped. This is July 29th, 2015. Wynn and Terry in Arizona. Everybody everywhere, and I'm just going to, I know this is the evening, we do questions, and I managed to get Clarissa to come into the call tonight, and we're just going to do something very quickly at the beginning, and Clarissa happened to get an extraordinary reading. Or not a reading, but an energy clearing from Ed Spina. And I wanted her to share what happened to her. But before she does, I want to tell you a little bit about Clarissa. Clarissa, if I overstep myself, just say, Wynn, don't tell him that, okay?
Well, my goodness, listen. All right, I'll be listening. Just cool it.
Okay, Clarissa is one of the most sensitive people in the world, I think. And years ago, she was on Coast to Coast with Art Bell. Was that Art Bell, right?
Yeah, either Art or somebody like that, or Hilly Rose, I believe it was.
Hilly Rose, okay. And she made a prediction about an earthquake happening, and it happened. And she got really famous, and she didn't want to make any predictions after that. That was enough. And she does astrology charts. She's very intuitive, and she's very, very secluded in Canada. And we were lucky enough to get to know her, Terry and I, about 3 years ago. I forget how we met. And she's had, like, I guess what I've come to call, the record calls them negative greetings, negative attacks. She has beings that hang around her. She's got a very big energy field. And she attracts all kinds of things in her space. And and we've called her different times and talked about it. And then I recommended pretty recently that she get a session with Ed Spina and see what happens. And so she did. And before you tell us about the session with Ed Spina, what would you like to tell everybody about yourself that I haven't already said?
Oh, my goodness. Well, everyone is sensitive. Certainly, we all know that. And sometimes maybe people are oversensitive, but that's what I do in my work, like many people do. And so sometimes you just kind of get open and you don't know how to close yourself off or protect yourself. So I kind of compare it to a cosmic dust storm, and you're caught in the middle of it, and sometimes you get a few grains of sand on you, and it's hard to get rid of them. And especially when you're caring about people, which I know everyone is, you get caught up with stuff and you don't go from one thing to the next, and you don't have time because you're busy trying to do things for other people. You don't have time to take care of yourself. And that's a very, very important thing to do when you're certainly working with other people, and even just every day, whether you do it professionally or just say hello at the office water cooler, you know. And it's important to be careful about that. So I've had many experiences related, as others have, with extraterrestrials, as well as using earthquakes. And I did do a lot of earthquake work, but I only use that for a demonstration to show people that there is a sixth sense. Anyway, I got this treatment with Ed Spina because I've been trying all kinds of things. And I've never been so impressed because a lot of things work, but this he really seems to get into the cause of it. And, of course, you have to help on it, too. But since that time, I've just felt like a new person. And so I can highly recommend him. If you've got any kind of stress or thing that's driving you up the wall, so to speak, it's a good thing to do.
That's great.
A lot of times people have entities and they don't know they have them. And it's worth getting a session just to see if you space, you know, it's like old patterns that you just learn to live with and you think that are you. I've learned this from Terry Brown, that these guys can attach themselves to you and they get in your matrix and you can't tell that it's not you, and you have this pattern, like maybe you get angry. Something triggers your anger.
And, or you can't sleep.
Or you can't sleep, or something. And it's for $40, which is what Ed charges. I mean, he could go into the elite people and charge $300 for what he does, and it would still be a bargain. But for $40, it's worth giving a shot. I have gotten so many emails from people who have had amazing results. Sometimes people go back to their old patterns. You know, the thing is, you have to be careful. You don't go back to your old pattern that brings the entity in because you're used to it. And he knows how to watch your pattern. And as soon as you go into it, boom, he's there again, like drinking or doing drugs or things like that, or going hanging out in bars where there's
low vitamin. If I may interject something, it's like before I had this particular experience of the clearing with Ed, I had not had a good night's sleep, and sometimes I stay up for 72 hours before I could sleep because once I would start to go to sleep, I would be under some type of attack. And when I had that clearing, I had the best sleep I've had, and every night it's been almost a month now, and I feel like a new person. So I highly recommend it.
Great. Well, I invite Clarissa, you and I could have a lot of fun if you'll come in on a Monday, and we're just going to chat about all your weird experiences, okay? and people will love you, you know. This is like a safe space, and people that start coming into these calls, and it's hard to tell people what it is. They kind of have to discover it for themselves and get their own experience. But the people that come in, and we probably have a few hundred people now that are regulars all over the world, the people that come in are, it's kind of a family feeling. And even though
I know you have a wonderful group, Wynn, mm-hmm. and the thing is, though, everybody has to learn to listen to the sixth sense because it's a very important part of one's being, even if it's just trying to figure out what lottery numbers you should pick out. That's kind of hard to do, but just important things, and fun things, too.
Did you ever do that?
No. I'm working on it.
You know what? I think Terry did one time, and then she didn't play it.
Well, I got the numbers once, and then I thought, well, it's probably not going to happen, and I didn't do anything with them, but that's, that doesn't count. But anyway, no,
that's what happened to me. I got the numbers, and I thought, well, it's probably not going to come up, and it did. I didn't play it.
Well, I wonder if anybody's listening has had anything that they've listened to their dreams or had numbers.
Well, I'm not going to open the wall.
Wynn dreamed it once, but he was allowed winning lottery numbers. He dreamed it, and then he couldn't remember it when he woke up.
I had to have that pad right by the bed. Okay.
But what most important is if you get a clearing through Ed, you'll feel better. So maybe if you're supposed to get the numbers, you'll at least remember them. But seriously, it's really important. It improves your sleep. It helps you to enhances your creativity. In fact, I've written a book since I had that. The other morning, it took me 4 hours to write the book, and that's awesome because I've been trying to write it for a long time.
What did you say to drink?
I said I wrote a book, and then it took me 4 hours to write it, but I had been thinking about it a long time, and it's like I heard somebody just telling me, and I just wrote it down. So I'm going to do it now.
Cool.
You know, when Daphne was first channeling the Elohim, and we were struggling to make rent. We didn't have any money. And they had predicted the newspaper headline. And I asked them, could you guys help me with the horse races? Okay. And their answer was, that would take you back to patterns of previous lifetimes that wouldn't be good for your highest manifestation in this lifetime. And I really didn't understand that. It seemed unfair because we were struggling so hard. But I do understand it now. And the thing about it is that when you have a lot of money, you know, Jesus said it's easier to get a rich man.
There's somebody at my door. Hold on a second. I gotta go.
I hope it's not a camel. It's easier to get a camel through the eye of a needle than a rich man into heaven. And the reason for that is, did you hear what I said, Clarissa? It's easier to get a camel through the eye of a needle than a rich man into heaven. Because when you have money, it is not impossible. I mean, a lot of money, but it's harder to honor the law of one, because the money, everyone wants you because of your money. And luckily, Terry and I are not in that situation. So if people come towards us, I think I would handle it now in a good way. If that happened, but in the past,
having a lot of money does help a person to be able to do good things if they're in that sort of space. So, and it's kind of important too.
Yeah. And then I know what I would do with money. But you know, in most cases, when people get a lot of money, they get decadent. They think they can have everything, so they start doing drugs, they start having women, and they start feeling separated from other people. And they, in a sense, when everyone's coming towards you and being nice to you because you have lots of money, you got to put a lot of barriers up. I remember there was this movie, it supposedly was a true story, where Howard Hughes went on a hitchhiking trip. Did you ever hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that movie, Clarissa?
Yes, I'm here.
He went on a hitchhiking trip, and this kind of happy-go-lucky guy picked him up. And
exactly. I met that guy, too.
Yeah. What was his name? Melvin, was it?
Yeah, yes. He did I did a commercial, television commercial, and he was doing one also. And so I met him then, and he was telling that story, and it's awesome.
Yeah, and of course, he didn't know it was Howard Hughes. I don't know if Howard ever told him who he was, but I think he left him some money. Did he leave him some money?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He did, and I think he wrote him a note or something.
Right. So that's a very interesting way that Howard Hughes decided to move into the Law of One, where he could just be an ordinary person. And, you know, people can be really beautiful, but you can't tap into their beauty when they're looking at you and they think, oh, you've got a lot of money, you know? You insulate yourself because you don't trust it. And so, in any case, Clarissa, let me just see here. I want Clarissa to come back because she has one of the most beautiful angelic spirits. And let me see if anyone wants to say hello to her. I'm going to unmute everybody.
All callers are unmuted.
Okay.
Hello, Clarissa.
Hi, Clarissa.
Hello there.
Okay.
Well, listen, it's been lovely to say hello to everybody, and thank you for having me on. And
all callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Hello?
Uh-oh. Yeah, we're here. I just muted everybody.
Okay. I just said thank you for inviting me to say hello to everyone, and I'll hope to come back soon. And I have to run now, but I really was sincere about wanting to encourage everybody to keep an open mind. And if you have a need, look into Ed Spina's group. And you know, you can reach Ed if you go to www.energyclearingcenter.com. I just happened to look that up.
Energy Center Clearing, okay?
Yeah, energycenterclearing.com, or just put his name into, but that will take you directly to tell you what he does. So thank you, and blessings, and bye for now.
Love
you,
and
bless you.
Thank you.
And Ed Spina here. Let me just look. His phone number is 954-415-3490. And I did put his information at the bottom of the email I sent out today for the call. And if some of you are listening and are not on the list to get emails from us, please go to spiritchannel.intelligent-infinity.com. spiritchannel.intelligent-infinity.com. And that goes to a little form you can fill out that will get you on the mailing list for call announcements. But I got to tell you, I have a really bad habit of sending the emails out, you know, a half hour before the call, 20 minutes before the call. So we also have, you know, just to reiterate the schedule, we have a Monday call at 6 p.m. We have a Wednesday call at 6 p.m. Pacific. And we have a Sunday call at 10 a.m. Pacific. So, and we have another website that lists the phone numbers of all the calls, which is conference.intelligent-infinity.com. And that lists all the phone numbers and schedule. And we have another website where we have the archives of over 1,000 calls starting in 2009. And many of the calls, all the calls, have really good energy on them. And just listening to the calls helps boost your spirits. And if you're going through a tough time in your life, it's good to listen. Don't watch TV. Listen to our calls.
because it'll help you through the tough time. And what else? You better start here, okay? And are we ready? We're ready. Oh, let me just make one disclaimer. You know, all the information that comes in from our sources, and in my observation of it over a long period of time, we have a really good track record. I mean, there are people that say that our sessions, the archives of them, could be compared to Edgar Cayce's work, although we don't have anywhere near the specific stuff that comes in that Edgar Cayce did. We do have a huge overview of how the universe works. And as you start to learn about that overview, it really helps you to expand your own perspective and start to experience yourself as a spiritual being in a physical body, and realizing that no matter what you're going through in the present moment, it's only temporary, and even this life is temporary, but you are not temporary. You are infinite. You are eternal. And when you start to grasp that experientially, that's one of the qualities that helps you graduate this realm. And then, of course, being loving and caring and keeping your heart open and coming into these calls helps all of us do that. That energy of the open heart is present here. And sources in other dimensions are present here. And they are looking at you. They are working with you if you want them to. What does it mean to work with you? They can actually send loving energy from where they are so that even if you're all alone and feeling isolated, you can feel a sense of love. And I get so many emails from people that are having that experience. But it takes a little practice and just showing up. It's just showing up helps bring you to that experience. And you could call it grace. You could call it different words. But the idea that you can have a sense of feeling loved, and even when your personal life may not seem to have any love in it, and that just coming here and cheering each other up, which we do, is a huge, it's a huge thing. It's not a small thing. It's a huge thing that we can do this over a telephone line and lift our spirits right here on these calls. And you're not anonymous. Your energy is in the pool if you want it to be. And not only is it cheering you up, but you're doing a service to the planet just by holding the space on the call. And on that note, let's go into our questions for tonight. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are
positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us when we create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Ra On. And today is July 29, 2015. And we are here with each and every one of you. We take a moment and we position ourselves so that we are available to each and every person who wishes to be touched by us, to have contact. You may not feel the contact. However, we are at a very high frequency, so we are there for you if you wish it. We do not come through the telephone line. We come directly to you. It is only the voice that comes through the telephone and through the computer. And it is very slow. And we are very fast at the speed of light. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. First question is from Joshua. And Joshua is going through a separation in a relationship. And his question is, what's the best way to honor the situation but not give up hope? My heart tells me not to give up. And Joshua, I just want to tell you something of my experience here. You know, my experience is when a relationship has a breach, particularly if the woman has left the man, the best thing you can do, this is my experience, is do not focus on bringing her back. Wait till she calls you. Make yourself happy. Don't feel guilty about making yourself happy. There's this perverse human quality that says, I want the person I love to make me happy. I'm not going to make anyone else make me happy. And you start feeling disloyal to the person, even though she left you, okay? So the less psychic pressure you put on her, the more chance. She'll feel it. She can feel you. She can feel your energy. And if you don't put any pressure on her and you make yourself happy, she might suddenly call you and say, how you doing? But if you call her and say, how you doing? She'll see it as weakness and she'll continue to back off. That's been my experience. So that's may not work for you. There may be another way, but let me turn it over to our sources and hear their take on it.
Thank you. When you make yourself happy, as Wynn is talking about, and you act out of abundance within yourself, and then you have something to offer. If you come with a woe-bedraggled heart broken, then she will sense that, and it is not a good energy for her to come back in on. So if you can maintain your energy in a manner that indicates that you are doing well and you have a lot to offer, but she would have to want to come for it, then it is
a better energy for her to come in on it. She can feel that energy. So it takes a nonlinear approach when you send her love and caring, but yet you yourself are fulfilled within yourself, and it's not something where she feels put upon fill that need within you, but she feels that the relationship might fill a need within her, then it is more chance that she would connect, because all are connected, and they sense what the other one, the energy of the other one, particularly when they have been close. And we hope this advice helps to send love to her and to the dog, and wishes for well-being, but that you move your own well-being to a very high level. So it is something bigger than the situation where you have a lot to offer. We hope that helps.
Thank you. And don't be afraid to open up to someone else. Don't stay loyal to her. I mean, this is my opinion, you know. I have done this wrong, so I've made this mistake many times. Don't stay loyal to her because you love her, because she's not being loyal to you. You have to be in the situation as it is, and you can open up to someone else. And suddenly, when someone else comes towards you and fulfills you, it's amazing how the person that you wanted suddenly calls and says, how are you doing? I mean, women are intuitive, and I don't know if they know it on a conscious level, but they pick it up, okay? Next question, Robert Travers, and I think that's Chico. He has two dear people that passed on in May. My fiance Ina's mother, Love Dobrovska, passed over in Poltava, Ukraine, and one of my spiritual mentors, Daniel Boone of Landers, California, actually related to the historical Daniel Boone. Some of you don't know this, but we have the reincarnation of Kit Carson on the line, but I'm not going to tell you who he is. Also passed over. I wonder how those two beautiful souls are doing in their transitions. And he's probably says if you can send him any good energy, he'd probably like that.
Thank you. Love is in the foreign country from where you are in. She is speaking to people in her language, and they are not really hearing her. And they're mourning still, and it is frustrating for her. And she has a certain buffer against them not hearing. And she's like pretending that they are hearing. And she is sensing that we are hearing, although she speaks a foreign language from the channel. She is sensing the sense of what we are hearing. And we defer her away from us to the higher heavenly realms. In the higher heavenly realms, she will find solace and be able to speak with people that can help debrief her from her lifetime and can take away the frustration of not being understood. And it isn't a language thing, because people around her speak that language, but it is a matter of just the people don't realize that
she's there anymore. And so that it makes a barrier or an isolation. And we look at Daniel Boone and, give us a moment. We see he is more resourceful and he is not stuck in a loop, so to say. And he is able to reach out and explore without his physical body. And we present options for him. He is very much enjoying not being in the body and very much enjoying exploring the physicalness, but still in this density, and he is not ready to go to the higher density yet, as he is full of the senses of how to experience the forest and the hills and to watch. And when he is ready, he will then be able to go higher into a higher density. He is more free than love. And we wish you, Bob, we wish you health and progress with your house.
Thank you. Just while we're talking about it, can you say hello to Carla for us without disturbing her?
Carla is... Carla always has an open love for you and is excited to hear from you. She does sense the connection, and she is overjoyed to hear from you, and wishes love to each and every person on the line who is connected. And Carla, she says they might not know who I am. Carla Rutherford is a love, a channel, has worked with us and has brought too much information to you, and we owe her a great deal of thanks. And this is Ra'an speaking to Carla.
We love you, Carla, and I'm so glad you're there. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to let everyone open the lines. Carla has been, for probably 5 years, my co-host on our Sunday calls, and she died on May 1st. So
all callers are unmuted.
We love you, Carla.
Carla, we love you.
That's very cool. We love you, Carla.
Carla.
Thank you, Carla. Thank you so much for your life. Much love to you, Carla.
See
you love
when
you,
get
Carla.
To...
Hi, Carla. Love you.
We love you and miss you, Carla.
Bless you,
Carla. Is shedding tears of joy at the connection.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right. Carla. We're going to do this more often because it's wonderful to connect with you on our calls. And I don't want to bother you, so we'll just see it. If you show up, you show up, okay? And we feel your love right now.
She says, you got my number.
I got her number, okay. All right. Okay. Next is, let's see here. We have D from Ohio, and she's been submitting this question few times and I haven't taken it. I'm going to take it, Dee. Okay? She says so many calls are more important than mine. Not true, okay? Do you know what? When people ask questions, it's like, it's not the question that always is important. Sometimes it is, but oftentimes people are going through stuff, like Joshua, and they talk about what they're going through, and it seems like unimportant, but yet he may hear just exactly the thing that totally makes him feel better about a situation. So many calls are more important than mine. Is my question really frivolous? The question is, who I am, where I am in this life, what I've accomplished or not, and if I'm on the right track. I will search these questions until this life ends. And you know what? You should. There's a question implied there, and if you don't mind, and they may not answer it, but the implied question is, what is my purpose in this life, and how to best fulfill it? So, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask that to your series of questions, and I turn it over to our sources.
What is her name?
Her name is. D. Hall in Xenia, Ohio.
Thank you. Give us a moment. There is within your space confusion about who you really are, to take one of the items. Are you this way or are you the other way? Sometimes you feel one way, sometimes you feel another way. And it is hard to get down to the heart of it and see who you really are. You are questioning. And there is a quietness, and there is a confidence, and there is a sense of accomplishment when you feel that you have accomplished. And you are always questioning if you are on the right track. If you take a look at the things that you have actually done, you may make a list and get a sheet of paper and write down the things that you have done that you feel really good that you have accomplished. Like if you have helped a young person with maybe some advice or talking to them. If you sense that they have gotten something out of it and you feel really good about that particular transaction, list things. It could be very, very short, but list the things that you have done that you feel satisfied, that you are proud of, that you look at it and say, I feel really good about that. And see how many of these things you can list, not to try and get a long list, but to get a sense of which things have given you satisfaction. And this will point to who you are, the person that has tried to do a certain thing and this little thing was accomplished. It'll point to who you are and what you wish to accomplish, and also put down on paper for you the accomplishments, even though they were just fleeting and small and short,
that you felt really good about. And don't try and do it all in one day, but maybe a little bit here or before you go to bed at night, one, or you might even, instead of putting it on paper, you could put it on your computer and then add to it a little bit. And if there's an accomplishment or something you do during the day that you felt really good about, then put that down, and you will notice a pattern emerging that will give you a clue about who you are.
Thank you. And you know what? We are all programmed to think of accomplishments in a worldly sense. In other words, you know, I could say, I did this, I did that, I did this. And you can start looking at accomplishments in another worldly sense. What would make God happy? What could I do today that would make the world a better place? And you can do the most littlest things. You could say, I'm going to go on the internet and I'm going to find some charities that I really believe in. Even us. We're not exactly a charity, but send a donation to donation.intelligent-infinity.com and put your love in it, like saying, oh, if I do this, they're gonna have a little extra money and more people will find this work. And then feel that you have created that. Move into that as part of your creation. Or other anything, anyone is saving the world, saving the dolphins. They all have donate buttons. I have learned not to think in terms of worldly accomplishments, and value myself in terms of worldly accomplishments. I used to, but I don't anymore. No matter what I do, no matter what I accomplish, I wrote a book. I'm an author, okay? I had a song recorded, At different times, I trained people at different things, and they started businesses, and they're still running their businesses. But I have to, like, rack my brain to think of all that stuff because I let go of it. And I say, what can I do each day to make the world a better place, to make someone a little happy, to help lift some anguish and pain? I always say, go to an old age home and go around and chat with people. And, you know, when you first think of that, and you're thinking in terms of, how can I cheer anybody up? I'm feeling depressed. Well, it's really amazing that you can start out yourself feeling depressed, and then you start doing something, and your depression leaves. See if that happens, because then it becomes a tool for you that you can do anytime you want. I'll go to the old age home and chat with the people. Oh, there's D. You know, anything you can do that makes the world a better place. And then if it works, you can keep doing it. And oftentimes when you do something like that, you open the door for a new path that you didn't even dream could happen. For example, here I was selling sunglasses, and it was the end of a fair, and I was stuck in a rut. I was doing it, I enjoyed it, but I said, I know there's something more I can do with my life than sell sunglasses. And I thought to myself, if I have to do this for the rest of my life, I'd rather die now. And so I started writing poems, and I started sending poems out on the internet. And then I sent them to a magazine, and they said, we don't use poems. Would you like to write on assignment? And so they started assigning me to interview people. And then I ran into David Wilcox's website, and I convinced my editor to let me interview David. at which she was skeptical at first, and then she came back and said, "Oh my God, you're right. He has to be Edgar Casey. And I think you're the person supposed to write the book about it." Well, you know what? That all started because I started writing poems. I would have never, in my wildest dreams, imagined that all this could have happened, because I said at the end of the day that if I have to do this for the rest of my life, I'd rather die now. And I started writing poems and sending them out. So it's like you never know. When your intent is really high and you go and do something, even when you're feeling depressed, even when you're feeling unworthy, try it as an experiment. Okay, I'm going to push myself. I don't want to face people today. They're all going to see. I know how it feels. They're going to feel my depression. Oh, my God, I don't want anyone to see this depression. I'm staying home so nobody sees it. And then you never get out of it. You're stuck. So it's kind of like my experience is take some action and do something positive that you can point to. And see where it goes. Oh my God!
Looking at this. If you, when you make your list of something that you've done that you feel fulfilled you, so that you have a number of things on the list, you start to see a pattern. What it is that fulfilled me. It could be that you talked to a young person and gave them some advice and it really helped them. Or it could be something really, really simple. But when you write down things that you feel that you did that fulfilled you, it could be a number of things, then you start to get a pattern of what it is that makes you feel happy and fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And, my God, we've really gone through this hour quickly. But I think BBS doesn't have anyone on after us. I'm going to take a chance and keep going a little while so we get some more of these questions in. Okay? This is from Rizia in Canada. And that's a good question. The Elohim, the Ra, and the Ra'an group claim they cannot interfere with humans due to free will. So why is it negative humans are allowed to continue imposing their negative free will and horrific deeds on this planet, and on positive humans that don't want their negative deeds? Like everyone on the planet, my free will is being affected by my corrupt government and the negative elite. So how is it that I really have free will to begin with? To me, free will seems to be nothing more than an illusion. Even when one is proactive and protests against the injustices of the corrupt government that are committed on a daily basis.
Thank you. You have free will within the framework of limitations within your life. And we would count as limitations the effect of negative actions against individuals. We are, in our sphere, not allowed to interfere when we are not asked or when it will infringe on another person's free will. However, we are an advanced group. The negative are not advanced. And eventually, it is part of their growth pattern that eventually, it may take millions of years, but eventually they will notice that their actions bring reactions that are not in their best interest. They may feel like they are getting away with it, but they have helped to pay down the road when they are so interfered
interfering. It is with life in the third density. You have the limitation of gravity. You have the limitation of breathing. There are certain things that you need to take into account, and you do not have the free will to stop breathing. Well, you do, but if you do stop, then your life will end on the third density. These guidelines, these limitations help you with your growth because you learn to grow within the framework that you are given.
Thank you. Also, Rosia had some orthopedic surgery that's healing, and her cast is coming off in 3 weeks, and she asks for help in healing so she can get back to work quicker.
Thank you. We continue to send you, which we have been sending you, healing vibrations for your calm and rest.
Thank you. Next question. Dan Betanik, you know, you asked about Alzheimer's and oxygen therapy. To my recollection, yes, ozone therapy can be good for Alzheimer's. Go to just do an internet search. I'm not going to ask our sources. Do an internet search on that. Ozone therapy, Alzheimer's. And just do Alzheimer's alternative. I do have a friend that has a supplement that he claims has been working with Alzheimer's. If you email me, I will give you his contact information. Okay. From Shay B. in Portland, Oregon. That's actually Erica Shay. Erica Shay B. And her doggy Max died of cancer, but she had to put him down on July 23rd. And I have guilt over this because I feel it's not natural. And the vet assured me he would not make it much longer anyway. I would like to know if Max is safe and if he forgives me for ending his life before his natural time. Does he see us and does he know how much we love him? Thank you. This will help me heal from missing him so much.
Thank you. We pick up that Max is upset. And Max does have blame for it. And so, I mean, he blames the people around him. He does not understand his situation or that he was about to pass anyway. He has resentment. And so in spite of that, we recommend that you send him love light and talk to him daily and tell him you love him. And he probably for a while will not understand, but repetition will help. He doesn't understand where he is or why he's there and he feels rejected. And so talking to him and sending him love, which we will take a moment and we will do. He's in a mode of resentment. So even with us, as we direct attention to him, he directs resentment back to us. It is a stage he needs to go through. So keep on sending him love and light, and eventually he will come around.
Thank you. A question on this. And Erica going to ask this question for other people and not for you to. Please don't create any judgment on yourself, because what's done is done. But if a person is in a position where it's recommended that they put their pet down, would it be better for them in the long run to let the pet go through a natural death, and even if he's suffering?
We see each situation is different, and we see that even if she had waited for the natural death, he misses them so much that he would probably resent it, not understanding what had happened to him. Even if he was allowed a natural death, he would have still resented not being able to jump around and run, and he needs to go through this natural emotional process as part of his getting used to his situation, and then once he is used to his situation and he sees that you guys still love him, then he will begin to come around.
Thank you. Donna in Montana asks about the heart shape on Pluto. And was it put there on purpose, or was it just an accidental, natural formation?
Give us a moment. We are looking at it. We look at it as a natural, flow of the energy, natural formation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cleo in New Canaan. You know what, I'm going to make a comment. Maybe next week, if somebody reminds me. I did ask this privately, but it's an interesting question to ask. Don't answer it now, but believe it or not, I think it's Mars, there is a relief in the stone that looks just like Nefertiti. Go look that up. Mars Nefertiti. You'll see it. I don't think that one's natural. And we're going to ask why it was there next week. Okay? Now, Cleo, I have read there might be such a thing as a soul net, which captures the soul upon death, so the soul would be recycled into the matrix. Would you ask our sources if there's any truth to this?
Let us understand this question, that there is a man that captures the soul. Is that correct?
Well, no, she didn't say a man. She calls it, I guess, some kind of energy. It seems to be, she's describing an energy on the other side that can capture the soul, and so it would be recycled into the matrix.
What does it mean to be recycled into the matrix? To be dismantled and
no man? I think it means to be reincarnated.
The situation of reincarnation is essentially the person transitions and leaves their body and has unfinished business that they feel that they need to finish, and they would like to come back. They may move into the heavenly realm where they go through a debriefing, And the debriefing they may simply indicate that they would like to come back so that they can finish out the thing that they have started. They're so much enthusiastic about something that they were in the middle of that they wish to come straight back and to finish. Then they come back. One has to have the drive to come back or want to come back for some reason or feel comfortable with the life and want to extend it further in the third density. There is, when you say, is there a capturing of the energy and sending them back, it is with their permission or with their intention that they do go through the manifestation that can bring them back to another life.
You know, some people have the point of view, and I've read this, that we know there's negative that's controlling a lot of 3D realm. And the point of view is that the negative also controls 4D realm, maybe even 5D realm. And so they are operating in such a manner to keep people enslaved in 3D from the other, from both this side and higher realms. And I think that is the implication of Cleo's question. And the other point of view is that we are here on Earth going through cycles of reincarnation, going through a learning curve that takes many, many, many lifetimes. And that's just part of the way the universe works. And eventually, when we can learn our lessons, it makes it sound like it's mental. It's not mental. When we can have the experiences we need in this realm to the point of perspective where they're no longer of interest to us, they become boring. And it's like at that point, you have released your obligations to this realm, unless you have a lot of hurt you've created, and maybe you have patterns where you have to come back and fix the hurt so you can forgive yourself. I hope that's, there's a question implied in that. Thank you.
Yeah. So when an individual feels that they haven't fulfilled something yet, there's something undone, something that they need to do, something they need to fulfill, something they need to correct, then they will still come back. But if they feel that they have fulfilled everything that they have set out to do, and now they don't feel the need any further to continue with it because they have fulfilled like one of the things and then a second thing and a third thing. It's like they've operated a business successfully. They've had really successful series of marriages. They raised family and they have they're proud of all this and it's done. They still could feel like, well, you know, I want to keep doing what I was successful at doing. They could do it, but they still haven't fulfilled their drive to do it. But once they feel fulfilled and no longer need to do it anymore, but want to move on to some other games, like in the higher aspects of the densities, then. You know, it doesn't hold any interest for them anymore to come back.
Mm-hmm. Another thing, you know, I think we tend to think of coming back as a punishment. And perhaps it could be, because there's a lot of suffering in this realm. But some people who could have qualified to graduate might come back because there's someone they really love and care for. And they come back to be with that person again and help them in while they're going through their changes in this realm. Is that not true?
Yes, and to help people in general, some people have a burning desire to come back to help people, to learn more, for their own growth, to help other people grow. So they just want to come back. And for them, it is not a punishment. There are some religions that feel like if you come back, it is a punishment because you should be able to graduate and to go be with God. And so coming back means that you've made a big mistake somewhere. But it is much broader than that.
Thank you. You know, if higher density beings didn't choose to incarnate in this realm, this realm would it's like giving it over to the negative on a silver platter. So it can be a sacrifice to come back here, and yet it's a sacrifice in service to all the people that are stuck here and under the finger of the negative. And
that is one situation.
Yeah, there's certain people. And, of course, that's the description of wanderers and starseeds. Okay.
Yes.
You know, I think I'm going to stop now. We've gone 17 minutes over, and I'm not even sure we're on BBS. Jim in Medford, please ask your question again. I wanted to ask that tonight, and I didn't get to it, okay? And Christina in, where is she? I don't see where you are. Please send your question again. And Mary
and
Jones.
Let us know your city.
Yeah, let us know your city. Mary Jones in Dallas, please ask your question again. I will definitely ask it. I hope I'll I hate to say definitely, but I will highly probably ask it next week and say, when you ask your question again, please say, Lynn, you said you'd ask it, okay? Just to remind me, okay? And everyone else that put a question in, please resubmit it for next week. And thank you all for listening. Thank you, Carla, for being here. We love you. She's probably still there. And thank you, Clarissa, for coming in, and we're going to try to get Clarissa on the calls more regularly because she is an angel in the physical realm, and I think we'll all benefit from her participation here. And on that note,
all callers are unmuted.
Everybody's unmuted.
Thank you,
everyone.
Love you.
Thanks, Lynn and Dan. I'm on my way out. Friends of love and
missing. Love
you, Carla and Clarissa. Wynn, Terry.
I'm a midnight creeper in Memphis.
Thank you.
Nice. Love you. This is Joni.
Love you.
Good night.
Hey, guys. Love you all.
Your contact recording has stopped.